And good afternoon and welcome to your extended news at noon. Tracy Morgan with you. And so, you know what? We just need to lighten up a little bit, right? We just need to have something to smile about. And ice cream makes me smile. So we're going to go down this road, although we're not specifically focusing on ice cream. We're going to be talking with a company that, if you're looking at the country, they're in our area. Hermitage is close enough to us. But it's National Ice Cream Month. And so in connection with that, we're talking with Joy-Cone. Did you realize that Joy-Cone is in Hermitage? They're huge. I mean, every time you get an ice cream, you get the cone, right? And so we're talking with the CEO today. David George is on the phone with me. David, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Hi, Tracy. I'm happy to be here.
I'm jealous of your job. You got to have such a fun time at your job. And I just want to sit and talk with you a little bit because it is National Ice Cream Month, and we'll talk about ice cream in a second. But you are so close to home, and I don't think that we realize how many businesses and industries are right here in Pennsylvania, especially so close to Butler. Tell us a little bit about your history of Joy-Cone.
Sure. So we were actually established in 1918, so we're 102 years old, and my grandfather, Albert George, was a Lebanese immigrant. He came to the U.S. with basically a fourth grade education from Lebanon. He couldn't read, write, or speak English, but like a lot of immigrants, he came with a really great work ethic, and he was kind of had an entrepreneurial spirit, and he got a few different jobs. He started a few different businesses. He had a little grocery store. He had a bowling alley. And then a fellow Lebanese, he wasn't a relative, but a fellow immigrant had a hand-operated cone oven.
Hmm.
And he said, Albert, if you, I'll make the cones if you run the business. And that's really how it kind of got started. It was a simple oven. You would pour batter in a mold, bake it for a couple minutes, pull out two cones at a time, and then keep going. And that's how Joy-Cone got started.
So there was a mold, like the cones were already formed, or did you help to form some of the cones? Because, I mean, you have sugar cones, and you have waffle cones, and you have the bowl cones, you know. So did you develop anything along the way?
So the very first cones that my grandfather made, we call a cake cone. So if you went to a Dairy Queen or a McDonald's, that's the flakier, crispier cone. And so that first mold was our oven was something that we bought. But over time, Joy started to build their own cake cone ovens. And for the first 60 years of the company, it was all about cake cones. And then we started doing sugar cones and then waffle cones and waffle bowls, and it kept expanding from there. So we came out with the waffle bowl. We came out with the chocolate dip cake cup. Those are things that we all created internally.
Hmm. Anything that you can create from here? I mean, I don't want to say, do you have any secrets you can tell us? But, you know, is there anything that you can think of that you would design from here? Because I think the bowl was a fabulous idea. You know, the cones were there. So what are you thinking about for the future?
Yeah, well, that's along the lines of the bowl is looking at cones, whether it's made out of a cake cone material or a sugar or waffle cone, is an figuring it as an edible food container. And some people are already starting to do that with our cones, but we're looking at different designs and sizes that really make it convenient to eat a walking taco in a cone-shaped baked product from here.
Yeah.
So, and then also drinking cups, to try to reduce in garbage and trash. We want to create an edible, think of a coffee cup.
That's interesting.
It would hold liquid. Yeah, so
yeah.
Those are things we've been working on.
So, David, let me ask you, especially other businesses would take note of this as well. How do you keep a company going? I mean, how did you take a local company and end up being so large across the country?
Well, you do it slowly. At least that's how it was for us. And really, you know, just quickly, the history of the company, you know, my grandfather was successful. Then World War II kind of hit out of fire. So the business was declining since then until my dad took over in 64. And literally that's the start of the growth of our company, because in 64 we had literally one customer left. And then from there, though, my dad started investing in the company, building our own ovens, and doing, you know, there's a simple focus, nothing, you know, flashy, but making the best cones possible, having the highest levels of service, and being competitive on your pricing. And it worked, frankly.
Yeah.
It was nothing flashy, but we've maintained that mentality, and we always want to have the best products out there and be competitive, and we reinvest. And we also have expanded. Hermitage is our headquarters. It's our largest plant by far, but we expanded in the 90s, late 90s, with a plant in Flagstaff, Arizona. That helped our western states' growth. And then we acquired another business that makes cones and other products in Iowa. That was a little over 3 years ago. And we've just had that nice growth. Really, since about the mid to late 60s, it's been a nice trajectory for us.
So if you had any advice right now, since we're living in the times that we are, for any businesses out there that are worried or struggling, or they're not quite sure how they're going to keep this going. I know that, I mean, technically we've never really been in this time before, but if there are concerns, I'm sure you've had rough times and you've gotten through those. What would you tell a business? How do you keep a business strong during any hard time?
Right. I would say it really starts with your people. And having, you know, the right people in the right places, and that's easier said than done. I started up the Flagstaff plant in 1999, 2000, and it was a really rough go because you're starting from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, once we found some key people that you can trust, you really can accomplish anything. And even you hit rough times, but when you got a good team, and I think we really have a great one here. You can weather the storms.
Yeah.
And you just got to, you know, keep doing the things you've always been doing in terms of pursuing excellence and being the best that you can be. Fortunately for us in this time period, we're a food company. It's a feel-good product. You talk about it's a fun job. You know, the name is Joy, and it brings joy to people with ice cream and cones. And that's something that appeals to people even in tough times, maybe even especially in tough times.
And I'm admittedly an emotional eater, so I need your cones because I need my ice cream right now. So
thank you very much.
I need that.
That.
So Joy Cone is who we're talking with, CEO David George, right now. And it is National Ice Cream Month, and so we just figured we'd do a lighter kind of interview because we've been so heavy with what has been going on. And so Joy Cone has been creating, what, 2 billion cones a year? I think that's just, you know, I can't wrap my brain around that. But what kind of equipment do you have now? You mentioned that you had the simplicity of what you did back then. How can you describe your line, generically speaking, if you could, on how you create these cones?
Sure. And it's really, the cake cone process is much different than the sugar and waffle. So with cake cone, the baking has not changed much. If my grandfather were to walk into our plant and we lifted the hood of the oven, the guts of the oven would look really similar to what he'd seen. He'd recognize it. But all the equipment around it would be totally foreign to him. We have merging conveyors so that we can bring product from several ovens to one point so someone can easily pack it. And all the packaging part is automated, and so we can produce a lot more per hour. And the sugar and waffle cone ovens have gotten much bigger over the years. Cones are baked in a mold, cake cones, whereas waffle and sugar cones are like a waffle iron that you might have in your
okay.
kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And so the ovens, we build our own cake cone ovens, but sugar and waffle we buy from some of the manufacturers. And those ovens have gotten bigger, faster, and they're more consistent, so they produce a nice, really quality product. And, you know, and we are always looking to tweak batter formulas or packaging to make things either more efficient or better use for the customers.
How many have you broken? You know, a cone or two is dropped to the floor, or you broke it in the hand.
You're making $2 billion, a couple of them are going to chip and break.
Not going to make it. I know it. But let me ask you this question, because my family and I, at one point, we went to like a potato chip factory and, you know, just went through. And I thought it was intriguing because it's not my world that I live day in and day out. And they were talking about something along the lines of they would have seasons for their orders, if you will. Like if they're making sour cream and onion, they make a bunch, or, you know, barbecue, they make a bunch. Do you have seasons that you have to make a certain product, or do you just continually make the cones, no matter if it's waffle or sugar or the bowls?
Well, there's a big seasonality to our sales in that cones, we sell a lot more, say, April through September and October. But that's general for all cones. I would say that waffle bowls and waffle cones sell better in the wintertime. Probably because people use it for some other things besides just ice cream. So they have a little more of a longer season than the cake cones. But and we ramp up, it definitely. So like in the wintertime, we're starting to produce a lot more to get ready for the big summer push.
Yeah. It's National Ice Cream Month. Of course, you know that. You're well aware of that. How did we get National Ice Cream Month?
Well, it's really interesting. You know, Ronald Reagan was famous for really liking jelly beans. But apparently he really liked ice cream as well. So in 1984, he declared July 19th, National Ice Cream Day.
And so from there on, has it made it more popular of what you do?
It does, in that a lot of our customers like to promote it. So they'll, you know, it's since it's National Ice Cream Day, certain chains will promote ice cream and cones. Certain restaurant chains will do the same. So I don't know if it sparks the consumer's desire because it's already there, but it certainly makes it more prominent in stores and restaurants.
Yeah, and since we live in a social media world, everything is such a great picture. But it's interesting because even though we're talking about National Ice Cream Month and you're the cone part of this, it's one of those things that I'm not sure if I don't know. People like to make sure that they have their design, whether it's waffle or their sugar cone. But you're one of those pieces of the puzzle that if you weren't there, oh my gosh, there'd be an uproar. You know, it's like, where's my cone? I need to have my cone.
It is amazing how often you see photos of people holding an ice cream cone and licking ice cream. Or a waffle bowl. It resonates with people everywhere.
Yeah. What's the most popular flavor? Do you know?
It's vanilla.
Is it?
People are often surprised by that because there's all these great flavors and new flavors coming out, but it's good old-fashioned vanilla.
And what is your most popular seller? Is it the waffle cone or is it the sugar cone, if you're going to pit those two against each other?
Well, waffle cone is gaining on the sugar cone. We still today sell more sugar cones than waffle, but I would say the trend is moving to waffle cone.
Nice. What's your favorite flavor of whether it be cone or ice cream?
I'm old fashioned. I like our cake cone. I like having it's got a little bit of sugar, but not as sweet as say a sugar cone, but a nice little crunch to it. So you know, a soft serve ice cream in a cake cone is. It's probably my favorite.
See, and I'm going waffle cone on you, David. I am. I'm doing the waffle cone with the mint chocolate chip.
Well, mint chocolate chip is my favorite ice cream.
Ah, there you go.
And waffle cone is my number two choice.
Nice. And I love it, too, because I know my kids will do this a lot where we go get an ice cream, and we got to order the cone with it, but then we order like a cup and we flip it over anyway. So, you know, it's like...
Yeah, people enjoy them all different ways.
Right. Well, how do people get creative? You mentioned before that people do get creative, especially with the bowls. What have you seen that you thought, wow, I wouldn't have thought of that idea before?
Right. Well, a couple things. Well, we try to promote some of that on our cartons, but we've seen people make walking tacos. I've seen barbecue trucks that would sell pulled pork in a waffle cone.
Oh,
and people walk away with it, and they can eat it while they're walking down the street. People make bird feeders. They'll do chicken and waffles with our waffle cones and different holiday crafts. There's all kinds of stuff on social media about it.
Now, I've seen chocolate-dipped waffle cones. Is that you, or is that once they get to the location, the ice cream stand is doing that? How does that work?
Yeah, that's done at the store. We do chocolate dipped cake cones that we do here internally. But when you see it on a sugar cone or a waffle cone, they've done that in the ice cream shop.
Mm. And, you know, people can be creative, too, when they're talking about kids, maybe school kids or, you know, youth groups with churches. I mean, there's all kind of different ways that you can use your cones, which I think is fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And we keep promoting that, and we throw ideas out there, but then we get them from our consumers as well.
Yeah. Talk about your social media pages, because I know, again, since we live in a social media world, that your cones are a part of the picture, and they make a huge part of the picture. So talk about where you are. Where can we post our pictures of our ice cream and our cone?
Well, we have an Instagram, JoyCone Instagram, so if you just hashtag JoyCone, it'll show up on our feed. We've really focused on that over the last couple of years, like a lot of businesses. We started slow on Facebook and then Instagram, and really have ramped up our posting and growth on both of those platforms. And so, yeah, if you just go on to Facebook and friend Joy Cohn, you'd see it, and on Instagram as well.
And Facebook is just as good as Instagram, but I can see your business being an Instagram world, you know, because everything is picture.
It is.
Yeah.
And people, you know, a lot of our food service cones are sold with a paper jacket on it for sanitary purposes.
Sure.
So we have the Joy logo on it. And so you'll constantly get people posting a picture with the jacket on it, so you know exactly it was a Joy Cone made.
Yeah. You know what, David, I appreciate your time today. David George is the CEO of Joy Cone, which they're in Hermitage, and since they're so close, and it's National Ice Cream Month, I thought it'd be fun just to talk to David for a few minutes. And David, before I let you go, let me ask you one more question. Let me ask you, what is the joy of your job? You said it was a family business. It's been around for quite some time now, but what's the joy of your job? Why do you love doing what you do?
Well, I really go back to what I talked about, having the right people at your business. And what I love is that we have, you know, 500 employees here in Hermitage, really 1,000 overall in all our different places. And I love that we can create a great product, but also provide really good jobs, well-paying jobs with great benefits. And, you know, people can come to Joy, work for 20, 30 years, their career here, and enjoy the work they're doing, know they're making a fun product that people enjoy all over the world now, and retire very, very comfortably. So we take a lot of pride in people spending their time here and being rewarded, as we all should if we're ready to work hard. So that's the favorite part of my job.
And I think you're an inspiration, too, to businesses out there who are just getting started or who may be struggling, or they think, well, is this the only place we're going to get to go? And, you know, step by step, like you said, it was just step by step. But look how huge you are now. And so I think you're an inspiration to other businesses.
Thank you so much. Again, in 1964, when my father took over, we had one customer. We did $25,000 in sales. It was at the bottom.
Yeah.
we've come from the bottom, and things have gone well since then.
And see, I told you one last question. I'm famous for doing this. Now I have another one. do you do tours of your ice cream cone factories, or do you do something like that?
We definitely do. Obviously, right now, with the pandemic, we are not.
Sure.
We've suspended all that.
Sure.
But we routinely do tours, schools, different adult groups. We're happy to do that, and we like to schedule them on a Thursday or Friday because that's when we have ice cream here, and so after the tour, you can get a cone and ice cream.
Ah, love it, love it. David, thank you so much for your time. You have a wonderful afternoon. We appreciate it, and happy National Ice Cream Month to you.
Same to you, Tracy. Thank you very much.